Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We'll stop there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and hear your word this morning. And Lord, as we open it, I pray that your spirit will come and open our minds and hearts that we might receive what you have for us. Lord, as we think today about the ministry that's going to be happening here in our church over the next several months, I ask that you will fill us with a vision for this and a desire to carry it out. And Lord, I ask that as we seek to reach out with this message of your great love for sinners, that you will empower us to do it and that you will produce growth through it, and that we will see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I'm the weakest of all the saints, the chiefest of sinners, and I ask for your strength and power as I seek to talk about this partnership that we have together in the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Well, Maggie and I have been married for 7 years now. Our oldest child is 3 years old. That means it's been a long time since I've had control of the remote. Yes, indeed, it has been a very long time since I have had full control of the remote. But I remember back in the day when I used to be able to watch whatever I wanted. And back in those years long past, in high school and college, there was a favorite TV show of mine. It was the World Series of Poker. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with it, the World Series of Poker is the world's largest poker tournament held every year in Las Vegas. It begins with thousands of players and eventually dwindles down to just a final nine players, and it's called the final table. And eventually, it dwindles down to just one person who wins all the chips and takes home all the money. Now, don't take my love for that show as an open endorsement of gambling or Las Vegas or anything like that. It's certainly not, but I did enjoy watching the tournament quite a bit. And after several years of watching the tournament, I learned something about what it takes to get to a final table at the World Series of Poker. And it never failed. If you were going to be one of those nine players to reach the final table, there was going to come a time at some point in the tournament when you were going to have to put all of your chips on the line. Players that just folded their cards hand after hand, letting their chips dwindle away, didn't go very far. They never made it to the end. If you were going to continue to advance in the tournament, at some point, you were going to have to go all in. You weren't going to be able to hold anything back. You are going to have to risk everything. That was the only way you were going to advance. Last year, we went through a process of reformulating our mission statement. It's the one you see posted on the wall here this morning. Our goal in reformulating our mission statement was to present in a concise and memorable way what we believe the mission of the church is as presented in Scripture. This statement is the best attempt that the elders and deacons and I could come up with to summarize everything that the Bible says about what the church is supposed to do. And we put it just like this. Our mission is to glorify God by participating with Him in building kingdom communities of gospel-centered people. It's the beginning of a new year. It's the beginning of a new year of ministry. And as we embark together on this new year of ministry here at Bald Eagle Baptist Church, I want to bring this mission before us again. It's been several months since we introduced our new mission statement. At the end of the winter, at the beginning of the spring, we spent 3 weeks going through this together. It's been posted at the front of the sanctuary since then as a continual reminder of what we're called to do as a church. And so today, as we enter into 2018 together, I want to ask you, are you ready to go all in? Are you ready to put it all on the line to advance God's kingdom mission this year? Or are we going to just let our chips dwindle away? Are we going to let opportunities pass by without failing to act? Are we going to wait until it's really too late to reach our community? This morning, as we begin a new year of ministry, I want to challenge you to do what Paul commanded the Philippians to do, or what Paul commended the Philippian church for doing. He said, "I thank my God in all remembrance of you." Why did he thank them? Why was he so appreciative for the Philippians? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. From the very first day, the Philippians were all in. When the Philippians learned through Paul what God had called Paul and by extension them to do, they were all in. They weren't going to hold anything back. Philippians 1 teaches that gospel ministry requires partnership. Gospel ministry requires participation. Gospel ministry requires people to go all in. If the church is going to accomplish what God wants the church to accomplish, we have to be all in on the mission. This morning, what I want to do is focus in on the gospel ministry that's going on here at our church. And by that, I mean how we are working to fulfill this mission. I'm not going to spend as full of a time going through the mission statement. We're going to kind of review it so that our minds are centered on it and we know what we're called to be doing. If you want a fuller description, you can go back and listen to those sermons that we did earlier last year. They're all on our website. So I'm just going to summarize the statement this morning, and then I want to talk about some new ministry opportunities that are coming our way this year, some new ideas that we've got. And then finally, I want to talk with you about what it looks like for each person here to go all in on this mission. So again, our statement is up on the wall. It's up here as well. This is a summary of what we think the Bible has to say about being the church. I want you to say it with me this morning. Our mission is to glorify God by participating with Him in building kingdom communities of gospel-centered people. Excellent. So, our mission statement is composed of three parts. The first one is the glory of God. One thing the scriptures make abundantly clear is that the thing God cares about most in the universe is His own glory. And because of that, everything that God does is for the express purpose of making His glory known. That's why Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And this purpose of God making known His glory is fulfilled even more clearly through the church. In Isaiah 44, the prophet instructs us to shout for joy because the Lord has redeemed Jacob and shown forth His glory in Israel. What the Bible shows us time and again is that the work that God does in redemption is for the express purpose of revealing His glory in the world. The church then, those of us who are redeemed, are to be a unique conduit through which God's glory is revealed. And that's why our statement begins with the glory of God. The glory of God is to be our focus. It's what we're supposed to be aligned to. The chief end of the church isn't discipleship. The chief end of the church isn't caring for the poor. The chief end of the church is not even the salvation of sinners. The chief end of the church is magnifying the glory of God, which is accomplished through those things. We glorify God as people are saved, and as we care for the poor and the least of these, and as we help followers of Jesus grow to be more like Him, and all the other things that we do in the church. All of them are done for His glory. Here in a few minutes, we're going to talk about several practical ways that we can be all in for the glory of God this year, for gospel ministry. But while we're here on this point, I want to go ahead and say that the ministry of our church starts right here. Getting on board with gospel ministry means getting on board with the glory of God. The more we come to see God in all of his glory, the more we come to see Jesus Christ for who he is, the more we're going to want to be all in on his mission. So, you know, we talked a lot about resolutions this time of the year and what we want to do in 2018 on a personal level. Well, I want to tell you, if you want to be all in for the ministry of the church this year, your prime resolution ought to be coming to know more of the glory of God. Our chief end in 2018 ought to be praying that God would give us a fuller picture of his glory in Christ, and that as God does that, we'd become like Isaiah. What happened to Isaiah? He saw the glory of God. He had this grand vision of God sitting on a throne and Solomon, all of his glory. And what happened? He confesses his sinfulness, the Lord cleanses his guilt, and then what? Who will go for me? The Lord said. And Isaiah, having seen all of the glory of God, said, I will go. I want to go and tell my fellow Israelites all about you. And that's what we're called to do as well, to see the glory of God and make that push us forward to make his glory known to the ends of the earth. So the first part of the mission is about the glory of God. The second part concerns participating with God. Our mission is to bring glory to God by participating with God. You know, I have a confession to make. Maybe you've picked up on this. I'm not really that creative of a person. My sister's got all the creative genes in my family. They're the artists. They were the ones who were always painting pretty pictures that my mom and dad hung on the refrigerator. Mine never made it on the refrigerator for some reason. So when we put this statement together, we weren't trying to be creative and novel. Yes, we wanted our words to pack a punch. We wanted to say it in a way that engaged with people. But we weren't trying to say something new and out of the ordinary. We weren't trying to just present our own ideas about what the church should be. We were trying to the best of our ability to say what the scriptures have to say. We want to communicate what God wants the church to do. And that's why I love this word, participate, which, by the way, was not my idea. I won't give you, well, I will tell, okay, I won't. It was Dan's idea. Dan thought of the word participate. It was a great idea. It might be the most important word in the entire statement. Friends, the work that we have been called to do as a church is God's idea. This is his mission. He's the one who builds kingdom communities of gospel-centered people for the declaration of his glory. He does it with or without us. But graciously, God has invited and indeed commanded his people to participate in this mission. Indeed, this mission is the very reason for which we were saved. We learned about this in Acts as we were finishing up at the beginning of last year. God has converted us. He saved us to commission us as prophets who will be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus to the ends of the earth. God has commissioned us to participate with him in this grand plan of redemption. Have you ever stopped to consider that the work the church has been invited and commanded to participate in is the same mission that God ordained in eternity past? Have you ever considered that the work we are doing today, an infinite amount of time after God ordained this work of preaching the gospel, is something that God came up with in eternity? That this isn't some small thing disconnected from all the other stuff that God is doing. What we're doing in our church is promoting the glory of God and working with him for what he wants to accomplish. This mission that we're given is really of monumental importance. There is no greater thing that we can do in 2018 than work to do what God has called the church to do. The third part of our mission statement describes the task that God has called us to carry out. We glorify God by participating with him in building kingdom communities of gospel-centered people. When you're a small church like ours, it can be tempting to believe that because we're isolated from major urban centers, that we're just an insignificant church that is rather unimportant in God's grand scheme of things. It's tempting to believe that a small church far removed from city centers doesn't have much to offer to the mission that God is doing in the world. That's one of the reasons our statement says that God is building kingdom communities. Though our church is small, and though in comparison to other churches we may seem isolated and even insignificant to other Christians, but in reality, our little church, though small, is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. We here at Bald Eagle Baptist Church in our little valley in the middle of Pennsylvania are part of something far more significant than we could possibly imagine. We are a garrison of the kingdom of God, set up against the gates of hell to go to war for the kingdom. We are to be on the move against Satan by preaching the gospel and calling people out from under his tyranny. That's what we do every Sunday morning. Yes, the spiritual forces of evil do not want us to meet together. The spiritual forces of evil do not want us to come in here and declare that holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts who rules the universe by the word of his power. Though God is sovereign over all things, we ought not think that Satan has no hand in freezing the water pipes of our church. Our mission as a kingdom community is to expand the kingdom to the ends of the earth, to push back against the forces of evil until the day that Christ comes to have dominion over all things. And he sets up his kingdom and fully restores his image bearers so that the whole earth is filled with his glory. That's why the word communities is plural. We don't want our church to just grow indefinitely. We're not only concerned about Bald Eagle Baptist Church, we're concerned about every gospel preaching church in our area. We want to be able to impact as many kingdom communities as possible. My vision and dream for our church is not just that, man, we keep growing and growing and growing, but that we grow to a certain number and then maybe even plant a church of our own someday where we can call another preacher to come in and preach the gospel and see people be saved. And even if that's a long way off, my hope is that as we are strengthened and grow in number, we can help other churches who are struggling to be able to better fulfill their calling to preach the gospel until the Lord returns. The last phrase in our mission statement describes the kind of people that constitute a kingdom community. We're to be gospel-centered people. A gospel-centered person is one whose life is permeated by the gospel. He views all things through the life, death, and resurrection, ascension, and return of Jesus. And as people do this, as they become gospel-centered people, something happens. The more the gospel and its truths become central to our lives, the more we change, the more we become sanctified. We don't believe that people who come in here as broken people are allowed to stay that way. Yes, we come as people who are wounded and sinful. But we say when you come to Christ, your life ought to begin to reflect more of those kingdom ethics. We ought to be able to start looking more like Jesus. Last year, we talked about three marks of a person who's gospel-centered. One is that a person who is centered on the gospel begins to celebrate the gospel. Gospel truths cause her to grow in worship because of what God has done in Christ. Also, a gospel-centered person is one who begins to live the gospel. Her life slowly begins to look more and more like Jesus. And third, a gospel-centered person is one who proclaims the gospel. the truths of the gospel cause her to desire to be like Isaiah and go to the ends of the earth telling people about Jesus. So there it is, a very brief summary of what our church is called to do. And before we get into what this mission requires of each of us, I want to talk a little bit about where our church is heading this year and what this mission is going to look like practically in 2018. So we have some really unique ministry opportunities coming about this year, especially in regards to outreach. And I want to tell you about three of those, and then I want to talk about a goal for each one of us as we work to achieve it. First, in order to work towards fulfilling God's mission in our church, we have several new ministry opportunities that are going to be available. You might remember several months ago, towards the end of the year, we had an outreach planning meeting that was designed to generate new ideas about how we could more effectively reach out to our community. And in that meeting, we came up with a lot of really great ideas about how to strengthen ministries that we already have and on how to do some outreach. There are three new ideas that we're going to be trying to implement this year. By the way, very few of the ideas that we had here were mine. That's why I had a meeting. Again, I'm not always the most creative person, and I need help. So we had this meeting. We had a lot of people come and generate good ideas. And if you came to that, thank you so much for participating in that meeting. It's a great service to our church. The first new ministry that we have this year is what's called the Welcome Wagon. Do you know what is the best way to inform new people in your community about the church? To go and tell them yourself. The goal of the Welcome Wagon ministry is that we want to be the first church that people interact with when they move into our community. When someone moves into the surrounding area, we're going to have a ministry set up where we have somebody go and visit those people and take them some baked goods and a little bit of information about our church, and hopefully with the goal of being able to have a conversation with them about Jesus. This is a really easy ministry for people to be a part of. It doesn't take a ton of time. Yeah, it takes a little bit of guts, I suppose, to go and meet someone who is new. But if you would like to be part of this ministry team, you can see Judy Watson, who's already working to get that ministry set up. And that's a really easy way to tell people about the ministry that's going on here. And it can be super effective when you're the first person that somebody meets in the new community. The second outreach ministry that we're going to be working on this year is directed at the trailer court. We already do a lot of things there, but we want to do a more directed ministry at the trailer court. You know, the trailer court right down the street is a place that is full of pain and experiencing the effects of sin in sometimes dramatic ways. If you haven't ever done it, just go drive through that community sometime and take a look around. It's obvious to see that the people there need the redemptive love of God found in the gospel. And it presents a tremendous opportunity for us to do outreach. So this year, we are going to focus in on the trailer court. We have several outreach events already in the works. We're going to continue to do our VBS this year, but we are going to rethink how we do that so that, Lord willing, it can be more effective. We're going to be doing simple things like passing out water bottles in the summer months and even passing out flyers around Easter and Christmas and other times. And then, Lord willing, towards the end of the summer and into the early fall, we're going to have a service at the trailer court, an outdoor service that's going to be a lot of music and kind of an evangelistic type message. And hopefully, in connection with our VBS, we're going to have a carnival at the trailer court this year. So it should be a really exciting ministry at the trailer court, one that I hope you will get involved with. There's one more outreach ministry that we're going to be kicking off this year. It's something that's been on my heart for a long time, probably since one of the very first times we came down into the valley to be pastor here. I said earlier that our church is set up as a garrison of the kingdom of God to push back against the kingdom of Satan. Well, in our community, there exists a stronghold of the kingdom of Satan. It's a place where darkness reigns. It's a place that agents of the kingdom of God need to invade with light. It's called the end zone. It's a so-called gentleman's club, located up on Skytop Mountain. The women there, women who have been made in the image of God, have bought into the lie that they have nothing to offer but their bodies. And there, for the perverse pleasures of wicked men, they are objectified and used. And so this year, our church is going to be thinking about and implementing ways to reach out to those women. For obvious reasons, the elders and deacons and I cannot lead this ministry. Reaching these lost and needy women is going to require some brave women in our church. We have some ideas already in place, and I'm asking you women to do this. I want you women to think about how the Lord would use you to reach out to those people. And I know it's hard. It's an intimidating ministry to do. But we need people. They need people who are willing to walk into the door of a scary place and offer a hand of love. Those are the outreach ministries that we're planning that are, at least in some respects, new. And since we're focusing in on outreach for 2018, I want to put a goal for each one of us personally, aside from those ministries. I want to challenge each one of you this year to invite 10 people to our church. And when we think about church, numbers are not the most important thing. The number of people that attend our church, the number of people that we see saved, though, is important, is not of ultimate significance. But sometimes having a goal can be very productive and can encourage us to get out of our comfort zone. So this year, I want to challenge each one of you, regardless of how old you are, how young you are, to invite 10 people to attend our services. If 60 or 70 people each invite 10 people, that's 700 invitations that are sent out. If just 1 in 10 of those come, that's 70 visitors to our church. And who knows? Maybe 1 out of 10 of those will either, Lord willing, be saved or choose to begin attending here. So for 2018, you can consider it a charge. You won't be brought up in church discipline if you don't do it, but you can consider it a charge to invite 10 people to attend our services this year with the goal of having at least 1 attend. And I think if we can each set our hearts on doing that, it could be a really exciting year as we see new people, new faces coming to attend our services. So let's go and do what we can to make it happen. So this morning we've discussed what our gospel ministry is. We've talked about several practical ways that we're going to try to implement this ministry in the coming year. And so finally, I want to talk with you a little bit about what it's going to look like to partner together for gospel ministry. This morning I want to talk about several characteristics of what it looks like for you to be all in on gospel ministry. And these are characteristics I hope that each one of us will take very seriously in the coming year. First, if we're going to be all in on what God wants us to do, we need everybody to serve. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul makes the point that every part of the body serves a purpose. The hands and feet, the heart, the lungs, they all serve a purpose. Without all of those things working together as one, the body does not function properly. And Paul says it's the same in the body of Christ. If you're a Christian, God has gifted you to serve in some unique way. He's given you something to do that will serve the purpose of our church. And significantly, what Paul is saying is, if you don't serve, the church cannot fulfill its purpose as it should. If everybody doesn't serve, the church cannot live as it's supposed to live. It cannot do effectively what it's supposed to do. Beloved, God has so ordained the church that if all of the members are not serving, the church won't make as much progress on its mission. So if we're going to do this year, if we're going to fulfill our mission, we need everybody. First, we've been talking about this a lot. We need more ministry volunteers. I can't think of a single ministry in our church that has as many people as it really needs. And this coming year, with these new ministries that we're going to try to implement, there are going to be plenty of opportunities for you to serve in new ways. There are even going to be some leadership roles that we'll need people to fill. And I hope you won't let the opportunity pass by, but that you'll put your chips in the center of the table and go for it. Another part of serving is inviting, as we've just talked about. Inviting people to our services is a simple way that you can serve our church, and it's possibly a simple way that you can have a tremendous impact on somebody's life. Yes, it can be a little awkward sometimes to invite people to a church service. Actually, I'm sure that most of us have neighbors and friends, though, who are alone and would love to have you knock on their door and invite them to church. And by the way, while inviting people is a good thing, the goal of interacting with our neighbors and friends and family members isn't just to invite them, but Lord willing, to share the gospel with them. And I hope that all of us will be moving towards that in the new year. Yes, extending an invite, but learning how to follow that invite up with a message about Jesus. The third part of service is serving with excellence. Sometimes in ministry, it can be really easy to develop a kind of wing it mentality. You know what I mean by a wing it mentality? Let's just wing it. It'll happen. Somehow it'll all get done. There are many reasons it's easy to develop this kind of attitude. And sometimes it's because we just don't really care all that much about what we're doing. Sometimes it's because we get a bit lazy and apathetic, or because we procrastinate a little bit too much. But a lot of the times, we develop a wing-it mentality simply because we've got too many things in the fire, and we just don't have time to put energy toward making a ministry or event as excellent as it could be. So church, let's strive to be excellent this year and put aside that wing-it mentality. For some of you, that may mean doing less. It's a really odd thing for a pastor to say, but it's important. If you consistently find yourself possessing this kind of attitude towards whatever ministry you're involved with, it may mean that it's time for change, and that's okay. It's okay if you have to pass the responsibilities off to somebody else. It's okay if whatever you're doing isn't particularly what you love to do, but somebody else needs to take over. Don't be afraid to stop doing something, especially if you can't do it to the best of your abilities. Let somebody else take over and make it excellent. So going all in means everybody serves. Second, it means that everybody must attend. Hebrews 10:25, do not neglect to meet together as is the habit of some, but continue encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Friend, if you are going to be all in on the ministry of this church, you have to be a regular attender at the events that we have. Our members, by and large, understand this pretty well, that participation in corporate worship is vital to the Christian life. And therefore, most people understand that missing a service is an exception, not the rule. But here's my challenge for you this year. My challenge is for you to see all of our various gatherings as vital to your spiritual life. Nothing would thrill me more than to see everybody involved in some kind of a weekly Bible study or small group. Just because we only have a few doesn't mean we can't add more. I would love to have 5 or 6 Bible studies where as many people as possible are involved in some kind of regular fellowship with other believers. I would love to see everybody at our special services that we have a few times a year on Sunday nights and sometimes other nights, like our Christmas candlelight service and Good Friday. My hope for this year is that all of you will participate in the events that we have at the trailer court. Church, we need our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need them more than just on Sunday mornings. You know, just this last week, the elders and I and the deacons were reading a book together on counseling. And one of the things that we discovered in that book was that one of the most important things for people who are suffering is fellowship with other believers. Sunday morning is a time of fellowship, no doubt about it. But we're not going to progress far in the Christian life, especially when times are hard, if we're not meeting together with other believers outside of the Sunday morning service. So take that opportunity and make it a priority this year. Oh, yes, and finally, please attend our business meeting. It's coming up in February. I hope to see all of you there. Third, to be all in for gospel ministry means that everybody should create. In Ephesians 4, Paul says that it's the responsibility of the pastors and elders to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Here's what that means. It's our job through preaching and teaching to equip people with the skills they need to do ministry. Church, here's what the elders and I want for you. We want you to feel free to lead. We want you to feel that you can take the reins over various ministries and lead them to the best of your ability. And this means that if you see an area of need in our church, you are free to pursue that ministry. There may be ministries that you're not particularly gifted for here, but there's something that God has laid on your heart that's a particular concern for you. Feel free to implement a new ministry. Feel free to start something new in our church in order to reach out. Tell us what it is that God has laid on your heart so that we can help you find a way to implement that here. Fourth, and this is important, going in for ministry means that everybody has to be open to change. A couple of weeks ago, over New Year's, Tom Rayner, who's the president of Lifeway Christian Resources, published an article where he was identifying several characteristics of churches that are effectively reaching their communities. Tom Rayner is a guy who's devoted his life to studying churches and how they develop. He's devoted his life to studying why some churches seem to make it and others seem to dwindle away. And after much research, this is what he found. These are his words. He said, "Please hear me carefully. Your church will either change or die. You don't change the truth of God's word, but many of the methodologies and paradigms that describe the way we do church today will not be here tomorrow. The breakout churches deem themselves mission churches, and the new sacrifice and change was critical to the mission heart." We've talked about this before. There's a reason that something like 4,000 churches close their doors every year in America. So many of them do not make intentional efforts at reaching the next generation. So many of them are unwilling to embrace change for the sake of the gospel. Going all in means putting everything on the line. It doesn't mean changing truths. It doesn't mean changing the gospel or watering everything down to reach out. It doesn't mean just trying to build a crowd for the sake of building a crowd. It means thinking about how we can effectively reach people who are lost. I want to ask you if you're willing to do that this year. Are you willing to take a risk and do something that might be uncomfortable or different in hopes of seeing people come to Christ? Or will we just be content with the status quo? Lastly, going all in on gospel ministry means that everybody prays. In Colossians, Paul asks his readers to pray that God would open a door for the word so that the ministry of Christ could be declared. Church, God has so ordained that the elect be called to salvation in accordance with the prayers of God's people. God wants us to pray. Indeed, it seems that it is often the case that God ordains not to save until his people pray. So let's make it our aim this year to be a people who would pray that God would open a door for the word in the Bald Eagle Valley. That there would be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit as evidenced by conversion. I have another challenge for you this year. I want to challenge each one of you to take 5 minutes a week to pray for ministry at our church. 5 minutes. You can break it up a minute every day if you want. Take 5 minutes to pray that God would begin to grow our church. and that we would see people come to know Christ, that we would preach the gospel without reservation, and the Bald Eagle Valley would be changed. Our mission is to glorify God by participating with Him in building kingdom communities of gospel-centered people. This is the task we are charged with. We have been commissioned to launch a full-force assault on the kingdom of Satan through the gospel of Jesus, praying at all times that God would deliver sinners from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God for the exaltation of His glory. Don't fold your cards. Don't let your chips dwindle. It's time to shove them to the middle of the table. It's time to risk. It's time to go all in. In 2018, let's partner together for the gospel. We're going to conclude our service a little differently than normal. We're going to close by spending some time in prayer together. I want you to take a few minutes just with the people that are sitting near you to pray. If you're not comfortable praying in front of people, that's okay. You don't have to do that. But if you are, please take a few minutes in small groups and pray together. Pray that God will save people. Pray that God will challenge others to volunteer. Pray that God would make us a people who are so consumed with passion for His glory that would be humble enough to do whatever it takes to reach out to our community with the gospel. Pray for our new ministries, like the Welcome Wagon and the program at the Trailer Court, and for our ministry to Women at the End Zone. Pray for your elders. Pray for any ministry that you can think of. Pray that God would bring conversion to sinners in our community. And after we've spent several minutes in prayer, I'll close us together and we'll sing a final song.